Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got an incredible guest. His name is Pat Helmers, and the man likes to babble. He's from Sales Babble, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to be on his podcast a handful of times, and finally I convinced him to come on to mine. So, Pat, man, how you doing?
Brian, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the Bacon Podcast.
Dude, it is a pleasure. Not only do we get to meet in person around the Chicagoland area, but man, I've been to your joint and, you know, you've got some cool stuff going on, but we're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about podcasting. So before we get started, I want my people to know, how did you go from being the dude walking around in a mall with a clipboard annoying people to the dude with the microphone walking around interviewing people?
You know, I don't know. When I was in college, I had this job, you know, where we did market research. I don't even know. We don't have malls anymore. I don't even know if people still do this, but back in those days, we would just pluck people off the side and we would ask them questions about Rice and Chrysler and stuff like that. And it was an awful lot of fun. And although that's not at all the path that I went down to in life, I went down the path as an engineer, software engineer. I learned a lot of skills from that I still use today. Like, once you ask somebody a question, you ask, once they give you an answer, you say, well, what else? And they give you another answer, you say, what else? And they give you another answer, you say, what else? And it's interesting that the third or fourth what else is when you're really good at good answer. That's a big takeaway I got from that, is like, ask questions and listen.
And see, that's kind of the basis of a podcast too, is, you know, what most people don't realize is we kind of have a philosophy in this game. And I know you have the same thing that I do, is, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that are formulaic. You know, they ask the seven questions. As a matter of fact, I just got interviewed on one of those today. And of course, I always tried to take it down some other stream. But, you know, in the case of you and I, yes, absolutely. Well, because, you know, I don't do formulaic very well. But in the case of us, we kind of have this philosophy of walking into a Starbucks and you and me are sitting down. And we're just having a conversation, and my goal with you is, because you're on my podcast and I'm meeting with you, is to pick your brain. I want to learn, you know, what goes on inside that little mind of yours that can help me be better at what I do, because you know more about sales than I do. And so if I can pick your brain about sales and learn something and take away something that I could give to my audience, that'd be cool. But here's the secret, is the audience is right here. They're actually sitting around us, you know, the table's nearby, kind of eavesdropping. And let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a Starbucks having a meeting and somebody taps you on the shoulder and goes, yeah, I want to know that too.
Actually, I remember once we were at the coffee shop in the Barnes & Nobles, and a lady stepped up and said, this is a really interesting conversation. And I'm like, oops. I realized people were eavesdropping. But I guess that's a compliment, eh?
Yeah, it is. It means that you're doing something that interests people, right? And I mean, that's what kind of sales is about, is, you know, giving people something of value, right?
Yeah, right. Yep.
So, you know, why do you take sales and turn it into a podcast? I mean, why are you doing a podcast? I know why I'm doing it, is to pick your brain. What's in it for you? What are you doing it for?
I think I'm scratching an itch, Brian, that was really bugging me. Being in sales for years and spending an awful lot of time behind the windshield, I've always been fascinated by listening to podcasts, but I could never find that sales podcast that was perfect. I remember we were talking earlier, just before we got started here, I started listening to a podcast called Golf Smarter by Fred Green, and I really enjoyed the way he interviewed people and the way the conversation just, you know, authentically evolved and changed over time. And I was thinking, boy, if somebody could do that in a sales podcast, wouldn't that be awesome? I wonder who would do that. And then one day my wife and I were talking and we're going, what should we call it? And we said, well, how about Sales Babble? And I went and looked up the domain, and next thing you know, I'm a podcaster.
So why Babble? Why would you use the term Sales Babble?
If you ask the average person, what's the first thing that comes to their mind when you say the word sales? They commonly say, "Ugh," mm-hmm. or they go, "Ugh," or pushy, or assertive, or aggressive, or people don't like that. People don't see selling the way that I see it. This selling is really just about is matchmaking to a certain degree, trying to understand what problems people have in the world and seeing if and possibly you could help fix that somehow. And great sales is really about having conversations with people to better understand that. But that's not how a lot of people see it. So all that other stuff to me is just a lot of babble. Mm. It's just a bunch of baloney. And what I would like to do is try to like clear all that out. So the subtitle of the podcast is Selling Secrets for Non-Sellers. So it's the idea that you don't have to be, an assertive, outgoing, gregarious, person, to be successful at sales. You could actually be a bit of an introvert. As long as you have an attitude of like, I'd like to help you. The path to success is really trying to understand whether or not what people's problems are and whether or not you have what it takes to help them. If you go in there with the attitude of, let me see if I can help you, versus an attitude of, I wish you'd buy my crap, completely changes your whole mindset. Sometimes I tell this story. Maybe you've heard this story. I've told this publicly a few times. Like, what if all of a sudden someone was to call you up on the phone and you looked at it and it's somebody that you love deeply, but you don't expect them to call you at this time of day. It's like in the middle of the day. And they said, Brian, I was just in a car accident. What's the first thing you would say?
Oh my God.
Yep.
How are you?
What else would you say?
What happened?
What else would you say?
Is everybody else okay?
What else would you say?
Do you have insurance?
Isn't it interesting that all the things that you said here are questions?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to better understand what's going on. You wouldn't do this, right? You wouldn't say, look, Pat, this is what you need to do. I want you to pull your phone out right now and take pictures of the entire accident. I want you to make sure you get the phone number of the person that you hit. I want to make sure you get the badge number of the officer. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't start lecturing people. But that's kind of how a lot of selling is. The seller walks up and says, you know what you need to do? You need to buy my crap.
Mm-hmm.
And let me walk through a bullet list of features and try to explain to you why this is the right thing to do. As opposed to, are you okay? How's things going in your business? How's things going in your life? What are you struggling with right now? What are the boundaries that you find very difficult to get around? How come? Why? What else? What else? We go back to the other one, right?
Right.
What else? I think that's, if you have a mindset of like, wow, I really care about you. I'm really empathetic. I do care about you. I'd like to know what's happened to you. Let's see if I can, maybe I can come and pick you up. Want me to make some phone calls for you? Maybe I can help you somehow. And that's the path to success when it comes to selling.
See, I love that story. And it kind of leads into the philosophy that I use with LinkedIn. I mean, I just got off this interview and the guy sent me an email from this company that, for only $97 a month plus a $300 setup fee, they'll get you 500 leads. And, it's like, and for, $297, you get 1,000 leads and, our best priced package and most comparable is, it's like, and he says, what do you think of this? And I go, dude, it's spray and pray. It's like you basically are they're giving you a bunch of people who A, don't know you, B, don't care. And, if you contact enough of them, eventually somebody will talk to you. But, and on LinkedIn, I do this other thing, too. It's called the LinkedIn Pitching Catch of the Week. And I put up a picture of a pitcher and a finger pointing at a butt. And the reason I do that is because you get this all the time. It's connect and pitch, where somebody connects with you you and immediately pitches you. And there's a lot of people out there teaching that philosophy. It's like, if you just connect up with the 30,000 limit that you have, sooner or later, you're going to make the sales quota. And it's like, but that's not what it's about, right?
See, this is the thing. A lot of people are very afraid to talk to other people. They're afraid to actually pick the telephone up. And to the best of their ability, they want to avoid. They want to avoid dealing with people. So they buy into this illusion that if I just paid that company, the one that you're just talking about, some money, magically people will call me up and buy my stuff. Well, that's just a lie. That's just a myth. And you really can't do marketing properly unless you truly and deeply understand who your ideal client is. And in order to do that, you got to do real sales. You got to like shake people's hands. You got to talk to them on the phone for hours and hours. And then eventually you'll understand how you can help them. It's people prey on the weak.
Let's face it. I mean, podcasting is marketing in one way, shape, or form. We're hoping that people are going to listen to us. Now, when I started, you know, my thought was, well, you know, I've been on the radio. I sang jingles, you know, and did radio commercials. And you do that, and you're going to reach a million people in Chicago on any given radio station. So all I've got to do is grab a mic and create a podcast and throw it out there. And millions of people all over the world will listen to me. And of course, you know, crickets. It was like, you know, a couple hundred people. And, you know, now it's in the thousands after 5 years. But I think it's the same thing with doing podcasting in an audience. I think a lot of people have this, you know, illusions of grandeur that they're going to reach this huge audience. But I think it's more about targeting, similar to sales. I think that, you know, how do you define your audience? How do you say these are the people that I want to talk to? And I'm okay if it's, you know, 10 or 100 or 1,000 or whatever it is. How do you do that?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I was just at the Podcast Movement 2019 conference last month, and recording this, that was in August. And one big takeaway from that was it really doesn't matter how many downloads you may have. What really matters is the quality of the downloads you have. Just like the guy you were talking about, the LinkedIn leads, right? If you have exactly the right people listening to you, you have something of value that you can turn into money. There was a guy there who didn't have more than a few hundred downloads a month, but it was a very small niche in a very small world of a specific set of software. And that company really wanted to market to those people. So they were willing to pay a lot of money because they knew that everybody that who could potentially be a customer of theirs listens to that podcast. And if people in the podcasting space, you know, really focus on who their avatar is, their ideal client, their ideal listener, we should really call them, and they could speak to their needs, speak to their, you know, to their hopes and desires, that could be a very powerful opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that going back to the Starbucks analogy, you know, with us talking over each other's shoulders and somebody sitting there listening, if somebody is paying attention, you know, and they tap you on the shoulder, it's a really great conversation. I mean, that's, you know, really what I'm trying to do. And I think this is one of the things that people need to get into their mindset is that you're not speaking to an audience of a million. You're speaking to an audience of one because your sound only goes into one set of ears at a time. And if you focus on thinking of that one person that you could communicate with, you never know which one of those maybe 1,000 people that download your podcast are going to be affected or maybe make a change or contact you and maybe ultimately do business. I mean, one of the things I've learned from the speaking business is I'll go and do a speech. It could be a chamber of commerce. It could be at a large, you know, auditorium with 1,000 people. But the results are always the same. Everybody walks up and, oh, that was awesome. Great speech. Good job. And then you never hear anything. Now, they may even follow you on email. They may listen to your podcast. And, you know, it's like, okay, I impressed them then, but what happened? Well, what I've learned over time is that it's always there. It's always in the back of their mind. And the more that they see you and the more they hear you, the more that you start to resonate with them. And eventually, you know, at one point, somebody out of a 1,000-person audience or maybe a couple of them come up and say, you know what? I've been listening to you and I'm ready. It's time. You know, and that's that to me is the, you know, and it can take up to 2 years. But that's, I think, part of the selling metaphor, too. It's not about how fast you get to the close. It's how well you serve their needs at the time they need it, right?
I totally agree. And what's cool about podcasting is it's a way of you doing it in a very authentic manner. You could do this in writing a blog, but people really don't read that much anymore. I think Seth Godin said it well, that podcasting is the new blogging. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree, but I also know people, this is one, okay, so one of the secrets is that I do a monocast, and this monocast, I record it, and then I get it transcribed, because people will actually get the email and see the podcast, and they know they can get it as a blog, and some people want to listen, and some people just like skimming the text. And so I think there's an art to both. And one of the things I've learned over time, and I agree with Seth, I mean, I think podcasting is the new blog, you know, because we don't have newspapers anymore. So every, you know, news station, news channel, news program now has a podcast. You can get everything as a podcast. But there are still those people that like to read. I mean, there's three kinds of learners in the world. There are visual learners, there's auditory learners, there's tactile learners. And I found that people that, you know, are auditory learners love to listen. People that are visual learners like to read, and tactile like to hold something, you know. So I think taking that content, and everything that we do should be a content asset, and putting it in as many forms as possible at least gives your audience the best opportunity to consume it the way they want. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm a strong believer of, and I do really, really good show notes that are SEO-able, because although the vast majority of podcast listeners come from referrals, they got a friend who says, you got to listen to the Bacon Podcast. It is awesome. Right. Or on Sales Babble, like the other day, I mentioned we've got Brian Basilico here from the Bacon Podcast, which you ought to listen to. Right. So they heard it one way, either on a podcast or through a friend. But there is a third way out there. There's the Google search. And you need those words for Google to find you and to drive people to your podcast.
Absolutely. And Google is starting to get to the point where actually they can reach into podcasts and pull out keywords out of those. But you're relying on a machine to make decisions for you as opposed to you being able to make your own decision. So we've kind of ventured into the third tier I wanted to talk about today, and that's the future. You know, what's the future? I hear this all the time. Video, 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 video. You know, a lot of people take their podcasts and turn them into videos. And, you know, I get interviewed more and more. I have to, you know, basically do my hair and put on my makeup. Because they want it to be on video at the same time they want it on audio. But it's just the two of us sitting there in front of our computers going, you know, we're talking. And it there's nothing visually interesting about it. It's also something, you know, that I grew up in the video field. I mean, there is, you know, in video, there's timing, there's emotion, there's all these other things. So I think that, you know, I think podcasting itself, just the audio alone, has a much brighter future than people taking talking heads and, you know, putting images to them. What do you think? I mean, what's your gut feeling about what the future's like?
I think the bar is raising on videos. I'm a proponent. I love YouTube, and I subscribe to a number of YouTube channels. I Patreon people on YouTube but they're doing stunning videos. I just don't think the podcast lends towards that. I export my podcast to YouTube, but it's just my artwork. there's nothing else going on. I think it has a bright future. I think there is some concern, though, that 70% of the population listen to a podcast one time or another, and that's growing even more and more every day. But there's some people concerned that podcasts are going to start to get into walled gardens, just as like Netflix has done, and Hulu and HBO and Amazon, that they're building their own little, their own shows, and they're going to stay in their little space. So I wonder if that's going to happen with podcasts in the future. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
See, now I think there's a place for both. I really do. I think there's a place for, you know, paywall content, and I think there's a place for free content. And, you know, it really depends on the motive. You know, there's a, paying for entertainment is not so bad. You know, one of the things I always had a problem with cable companies was that I was paying for 350 channels when I watched three, you know, or 10. And actually, even on Netflix and Hulu, and you get live TV, I mean, there probably are 10 channels that I watch. So why am I paying for 350 when I only want those 10? You know, so there's lots of different ways. I can pay $5 a channel if I want to, or I can go to something like Hulu and pay $40 and maybe get a little bit more. But, you know, I'm still, you know, at $40, it's still less than $5 a channel. And, you know, is it worth that a month? Yes, you know, because the quality of the content, you're not going to see a Game of Thrones type production, you know, on YouTube for free. It just, they have to, there's got to be some kind of money made by it in one way, shape, or form in advertising. So, you know, but I think the, you know, the podcast and the blog and the newsletter and those kind of things, you know, that kind of content is meant to be shared. It's meant to be out there. And, you know, it, I think it's really up to the, you know, the developer of the content, how they want to monetize it. Because let's face it, I mean, we all need to survive. We need to make money, right?
Yes.
So somehow or another, you know, you're either going to monetize it on the back end, you're going to monetize it on the front end, because, you know, this is a business podcast, people. As much as I love doing it, you know, it does have an end goal of trying to get people to pay attention, to do something, and, you know, eventually maybe work with me. That would be great. And work with Pat, because, you know, I mean, I love your philosophy. And if somebody wanted to learn sales, I would send them to you. Hopefully you'd send them to me for content marketing. But, you know, the key thing is, you know, you're sharing your expertise, you're putting your best stuff out there. And, you know, there's a hope that somehow or another this will turn into monetization or some type of return on the investment. Right.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing immoral about that whatsoever. In fact, listeners want us to be successful so that we continue to do this for years to come.
So any final closing thoughts about podcasting and your journey with it that you'd like to add? Any stories or anything?
I really wish the listeners out there would go share this with their friends. You know, if you like the Bacon Podcast, share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. That's the way these things really grow. They grow organically. This is interesting. And I think this is really interesting, Brian. Podcasts grow in an old fashioned way. for a new technology, it's still done by word of mouth for the most part.
Well, I think that's true of everything. I'm a firm believer in, you know, that the principles before the internet still work on the internet. It's just the tools are different, the techniques are different, but, you know, the principles never change. So I think that will always be the case with everything, because, you know, it's like you can see advertisements for Game of Thrones, like I said, but, you know, you could look at it and go, oh, that looks cool. But if one of your friends comes and says, oh man, did you see the latest Game of Thrones episode? You're going, no. Oh, dude, you got to watch it. Okay, I'll go watch it. You know, it's usually pure influence that gets people into those kind of things. And of course, you know, social media amplifies it by people talking online and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I firmly believe that.
I don't think it's like that. I think it's like I can see advertising. I was watching the Bears last night.
Mm-hmm.
There was advertising for TV shows of like, oh, maybe I would watch that. Nobody told me to do that. You know, not like a podcast where it's usually a human being is in person speaking to me. I've not found a lot of podcasts from, I just bumped into them online someplace and decided to listen to them.
No, I agree. I mean, most of them have come from trusted lists, trusted friends, something, you know. It's usually somebody that I trust says, you need to listen to this.
And I just think that is just so cool. I just think it's so cool that it's so old fashioned and new fashioned. I just think that's really cool. That's all. So that's all I got to say about that.
Awesome. Well, Pat, this has been great. I love the way we were able to meld in, you know, sales and marketing to podcasting and just the, you know, kind of give an inside scoop as to your, you know, your take on it, my take on it. And I think it's a you know, interesting way to present this to people and why you do it, why I do it. And, you know, we're kind of like brothers from another mother when it comes to that kind of stuff, especially since we've both been doing it for 5 years, right?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think you and I are very much aligned in how we see this. So, and I think that's what's fun. That's why I've always enjoyed hanging out with you, Brian.
Thanks, man. And ditto. And we obviously have to do that more often. But if my audience wants to hang out with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would love to have them visit me on SalesBabble, salesbabble.com. And I'm easily found on practically any podcast app out there.
Cool. And if they want to connect with you personally, email, social media, what's the best way to do that?
LinkedIn's the best way to find me. Look for Pat Helmers on LinkedIn and you can message me. Of course, you can always send me an email at pathelmers@salesbabble.com. That works too.
Anyways, brother, thank you so much for coming on and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. Man, this was a blast. It was fun. And I look forward to doing it again soon. I would love to get you back on just to talk about sales because, man, to me, that is such a huge and interesting topic.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.